Yep.
All right. Preston, go ahead and start the thing once I enter us into the show. In 3, 2, 1. Welcome on back to the Rabid Rabbit Hole Sports. So I guess what I'm going to call it the Rabid Rabbit or the Rabbit Hole Radio. That's what we're going with. Preston and I talked about it. Rabbit Hole Radio. It's going to be the sports edition. That's what we're going to call these episodes. And week one is in the books. We had 5 straight days of games. And what a weekend it was. We had some cool, pretty damn cool games this weekend that some of them were actually like great. Like Georgia Clemson was great. Notre Dame Florida State was great. Some other games that weren't so great. OU Tulane, OSU, and whoever the hell you guys played. You guys faltered a little bit. We'll get into that. But before we do, I want to make sure everyone gets their socials plugged. So Preston, let everyone know where they can find you, Jake, you as well. And then myself, I'll go at the end.
Okay, yeah, just PrestonPool405 on Twitter. Put some stuff on Instagram too, just Preston_pool. Other than that, those are 2 places I normally am posting things on. So just follow me there.
Jake?
It's at Jake Cart on Twitter, or like I said last week, just follow this.
Yeah, just follow the podcast and follow me at The Bake Is Here on all social media, at The Bake Is Here. Be sure to follow us because Preston and I know for sure, are definitely tweeting about the games as they happen all weekend, whether we're live betting or just watching at the games, whatever it is. We'd be tweeting about the games as it goes. Jake doesn't do too much tweeting. He just does a lot of watching, though. That's good because we got a stats guy, basically. Who wants to go first about their team? I mean, I could go first, but I think Ohio State probably had the best win out of it, even though it was a little faltery. But, like, Minnesota was actually better than I think a lot of people expected. And it's hard when, like, you have the fucking – one of the top running backs in the nation. Thankfully – well, not thankfully. I'm not going to say – I don't wish injury upon anyone. But thankfully, he missed the rest of the game because that would have been a little bit closer. But I was confident about that game for Ohio State. It was week one, tough game, Big Ten game. But I'll let you guys kind of go with it. You want to talk about OU? Can we just jump right to it?
Yeah, like we might as well just get it over with because, God, that was just not what you expected out of game one from a team that has national championship aspirations. And I will say right now, the national championship aspirations are being put on the shelf. Because, God, that was terrible.
If that same team plays Bama, you guys are going to get blown out.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I had 3 things from that game that I thought were the major problems. Number one being offensive line. I trust Bill Beatenbow, the offensive line coach for Oklahoma, to get that thing set right. But in game one against Tulane, you got to be better.
On the road, nonetheless.
You got to push those guys around. And it's just terrible. Yeah. The scenes from the Memorial Stadium, what I heard is what it felt like a scrimmage down there in Norman. So,
oh, really?
Not too good. Yeah. They had like only the lower bowl was available for tickets, and that didn't even sell out. Just having that whole thing put together in 1 week just was not a good feel for a good environment for a football game, I feel like. But
nonetheless, we got to talk about that defense. I mean, that defense, yeah. They are who we thought they were.
That was another one of my 3 things I had was that secondary. I think the front, the defensive line played well. They were getting pressure on the Tulane quarterback for the majority of the game, except for that third quarter, which was just abysmal on both sides of the ball. But that secondary, and I think it comes from them just shuffling so many guys in and out of that secondary. They played so many people in that secondary during that game. It was just crazy that no one actually was able to get like their footing in the game to get a feel for it. I'm not quite sure what Alex Grinch was trying to do there.
Jake, what do you think about that game? Did what were your thoughts on OU? I mean, I know bias is going to play a factor, but like on like for real, what's your take on that OU team?
Well, I feel like if it was a true road game in New Orleans, Tulane might have been able to pull that one off.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I do agree with Preston, I don't think that, you know, it's not full capacity. The stadium wasn't rocking, you know, there's some things here and there, but Yeah, OU's defense kind of fell flat of what we expected them to do, you know, and the offensive line, I've said it for years now, Lincoln Riley's system is so dependent upon the run that if they can establish the run, they'll kill you. But if you can slow OU's run game down and make them one-dimensional, it's much easier to play defense. And I think Tulane, they gave it their all. I mean, they were in the game, which is just crazy to even think of. But, yeah, I mean, I would say a lot, but everybody, I think, struggled. Even, you know, teams that even won by a decent margin still struggled a lot this week. I don't know what was in the water, what happened. But
yeah, it was an odd week where, you know, a lot of teams that you thought would be like blowing the like their opponents out, they just didn't. There's a lot of close games that you just didn't expect to be close. It was like week one. It was like a typical, it was actually like a typical week one where things happened where you're like, damn, that's like, that's their first game of the season. Of course they would have mistakes like that, you know?
Yeah.
But we as fans, and I think us three in particular, we had a lot of expectations for certain teams, especially like I truly expected OU's defense to be better this year. I truly did, just based off all the things that had changed, you know, having another year with that defensive coordinator under there where he gets just another whole offseason to figure things out. I really did think that they had a better defense this year. Of course, the running back situation where you guys had lost two running backs before the season started. That hurts you a lot, especially like Jake said, where you're very dependent on that run game. Because if you can't run, then Spencer Rattler is going to have to do all the moving around there. And he just wasn't able to do it. It felt like he felt at times scared still. Maybe not scared, but like, you know, nervous. He didn't have any calmness in the pocket at all. That might have been the line, but
he didn't play like he did towards the end of the season last season to start this game. And to be fair, I can't remember if one of those interceptions hit someone's hand and then fell into the Tulane receiver's hands. So it is what it is, but you expect a Lincoln Riley quarterback to play better than what he did Saturday. And I think going forward, once the offensive line actually, because going through camp, there were some of the starters, they didn't really get that much run with the ones. Like I know the center, Andrew Rame, was hurt towards the end of camp. I believe he played towards the end of the game Saturday. So once Bill Beatenbow gets all the guys that he wants starting and they get more reps together and more in-game action, I think that'll iron out and they'll end up being a decent offensive line. I'm not going to say they're going to be the best in the country, but I think that once they get more playing time together, they will end up being one of the a decent offensive line and be able to establish a running. Because, look, Kennedy Brooks – that being his first game in 2 years, he came out, he looked like he had not missed a beat. He looked pretty good on Saturday with all things considered how that football team went. But yeah, Spencer Rattler, I don't know what it was. He was throwing behind guys, throwing over them.
How many games can Spencer Rattler have like that before you guys bring the other guy, the backup in?
Yeah, the thing is, I just haven't seen Caleb Williams play. I mean, he got one play, I believe, last weekend, and it was the 2-yard touchdown run.
But I mean, do you think it's like if it's week five, if it's game five, and Spencer Rattler's still having these like mistakes that like you just can't be having that deep, you know, as you progress through the season? Like, does Lincoln Riley switch it up, or
If OU's lost a couple games, then I think that would be an okay time to maybe try something different. But I mean, if they're winning, I see no need in switching up your quarterback and changing everything up just to maybe beat teams by 3 more touchdowns, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I truly think this is actually a huge year for Lincoln Riley. If things don't get figured out and you guys just have another playoff appearance and out, you know, I truly think like, the hot seat's there, like not like Ed Orgeron hot seat. That's a little different. We're going to touch on that. But I do think this year is like something's got to change, you know, something, especially for a team where you have expectations of winning the championship. Yeah, you want to get there, of course.
Yeah.
You'd rather get there than not. But you're a team where you have expectations and year after year, if the same thing's happening, defense isn't getting better, offense falters at the beginning and maybe figures it out halfway through the year. Like you just can't be having that year in and year out. They're going to have to get a guy in there that like can figure it out after 1 year and get that defense. Or maybe it's the coordinators. I don't know. But I think, you know, give it a two more. I'm not going to put them on. I know you thought maybe I'd put them on the hot seat this week. I'm going to give it a little bit. I'm going to give it a little bit and then put them on the hot seat. But I do think once a couple more weeks happen and things don't change, he's on there. He's on there for real.
I mean, look, they're still the best team in the Big 12 conference at the moment. They're still probably going to go ahead and win the Big 12 conference. It's just they're not going to be that team that's going to be able to win a playoff game at the moment. And it's I don't get it. It is what it is. But I think they'll get things ironed out the more they play. I mean, it is only week one, right?
Yeah.
They're going to end up playing and they'll get things ironed out. I'm not too concerned, but man, did Sooner fans have an absolute meltdown
on the old Bird app.
They were freaking going crazy.
I mean, some of them basically wanted to collapse the program. So some people wanted to like just shut the program down, which is a little bit of an overreaction, but that's something I like seeing that. I mean, dude, trust me, I would love nothing. I think I didn't get into it with someone on Twitter, but like I was going back and forth with someone on Twitter about how OU is actually not that bad. And then I was like, I would love nothing more than to see OU miss the playoffs. Would love nothing more than that. And Jake, I know you would too. You guys had a little faltering. Just give us a quick, you were at the game. So just give us a quick little rundown of Oklahoma State's thing, and then I'll touch on Ohio State. I got a couple things I want to say on Ohio State, and then we'll wrap up with the two big games, the two or three of the big games this weekend, and then into our picks.
So, you know, I went this weekend, and my judge for Oklahoma State is really if we shoot fireworks or not. If we shoot fireworks, we're back. If we don't, then we're not. And we shot fireworks last week, so, you know, we sold all the way up. There was no, like, lower bowl situation or whatever happened at OU. So we had – it wasn't complete full capacity, obviously, but, you know, it's full capacity. Probably 89% of the tickets, you know, were there. So, you know, the thing about Missouri State is, yeah, they're an FCS school, but, you know, you have Bobby Petrino. They had, I've heard, something like 18 transfers. So they're like a completely different team. I think Shelley, their quarterback, came from Oregon. So, like, they – I think that Missouri State probably not getting enough credit. Not really sure if they are that much better or if we just absolutely – I mean, the thing is we came in, we had, I think, 12 people that didn't play due to either injury or COVID.
Spencer Sanders being one of them.
Yeah, Spencer Sanders, that was a big one. But, you know, Shane's not bad. He can throw the ball really well. It just hurts our run game. And that's
what
really –
Did you see improvement in Shane from last year to this year?
Yeah, he has a little bit of improvement. But, you know, the problem with Shane is he's obviously one-dimensional. He can't run the ball. You know, he's going to be that typical pocket passer. And, yeah, he's young and he missed some throws here and there. And, it kind of hurt him. But at the end of the day, like – I think Shane played well. I think our running back room is good. Our offensive line is improved, but we played – it was like opposite day where we didn't run block at all. We passed block somewhat all right, but we couldn't run. Like, we were one or two away from doing really good in the run game. So that really kind of hurt us because I think our running backs did good for what they had. But, you know, with so many people not playing – I think it really injured us because the thing is our defense is all right, but you take a couple pieces here and there, like Trace Ford, you know, went out last year with the ACL. He was supposed to be back. And then supposedly last week tore it again or had a surgery again. So he might that's be huge. Done for the season. And that's a huge piece for us. But for the most part, I was glad to be back. I was glad to see the fireworks, glad to get this thing going again.
Absolutely. So we already know the Sooners expectation, pressing your expectation. You dropped it from national championship. You dropped it in just to a college football playoff appearance for now. Jake, where are you sitting? Do you have Big 12 championship in sight? Do you have the college football playoffs in sight? Do you have a natty in sight? Cause I'll sprinkle future on OSU. If you think it's likely.
I mean, basically how everybody played last week, we're right there with everybody. I mean,
all right.
The thing is, you know, we were a 38-point favorite, and we won by 7. OU was a 35-point favorite. They won by 5. And so when you compare apples to apples, I mean, we're right there with everybody. You know, yeah. Iowa State, 7. They won by 7 points to Northern Iowa. I mean, everybody played terrible.
Yeah, and I think everyone you know, did across the board, not just in Big 12 either.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of old school football. Like, I wasn't be able to see most of the games, but like that, you know, game day, Georgia-Clemson, where it's 10-3, you know, just these low, like, I think I saw something that, like, Preston posted about under some guy bet, like, 16 unders and hit, like, all of them or something crazy.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. That was crazy.
It's just weird.
I have a pretty gnarly parlay for week one of the NFL season. I got Arizona money line, New England money line, I think. Kansas City to beat whoever, the Browns, I think, by 6.5, and the Jets to cover against the Panthers by their +5. I got that parlay, and I'm kind of nervous, but I actually think it's going to hit because, you know, those. I mean, we're not going to talk. I'm not going to get into that because that's NFL. I want to hit real quick on Ohio State. They obviously had they faltered a little bit too. They ended up pulling away a bit, especially in the second half when Ibrahim, I think you say it, Muhammad Ibrahim, went down, the running back for Minnesota, who is really damn good. Like, I think he was one of the top running backs last year, and this year was expected to be as well. He tore his Achilles, which was, that was just terrible to see. Just, you don't want to see that because it's such a gnarly injury, especially for such a talented player. And that would have been really fun to watch him the rest of the season. I think Minnesota would have probably, I think Minnesota could have ran the table after Ohio State. In terms of conference play, not the playoffs or conference championship play. I think they could have ran the table. I really do. They're actually not that bad. But Ohio State, Mayan Williams, insane. I mean, their running back, they might have the best running back squad in the nation with Williams, Master Teague, and I can't remember his first name, but Henderson. He's got insane. I think it's Travion Henderson or something like that. But three insanely good running backs. Mayan Williams, if he catches an edge, if he can get out on the edges, if that line can get him just a little bit and then catch an edge, Mayan Williams has some power and speed. He's great. I mean, they just have a great three-back situation there. And C.J. Stroud, I mean, he struggled a little bit in the first half, but that was the ultimate freshman, true freshman. I mean, he came in like three times and ran the ball twice, I think. But that was the typical, you know, first start freshman, first game of the year, big game where you're a little nervous in the first half. You go to halftime, you come back out, and then you basically figure it out. And what they did was they just had him do 5-yard dumps to Olave and have Olave go.
Say it helps yards. When you have like the best receivers in the country, you just somehow get them the ball and then you're set.
Yeah,
after that,
I mean,
so
I think they figured it out. Now, of course, they got so one thing I was insanely pissed about with Ohio State is if Minnesota is lining up 8 on the line, stop the run. You got to stop the run. I don't care what you do. If they line up 8, you stop the run. They were struggling with that in the first half with Ibrahim being out, and that's something you just got to figure out. I think obviously it's game one. Defense had some wrinkles like everyone else did. I think, you know, week two, week three, they're good. And we got a big week coming up with Oregon coming into town. That's a huge game. That's two big games back to back to open the season, and it's not going to be easy. And then we got Penn State later in the year, who Penn State's looking a little good. Wisconsin's not looking bad. I mean, they didn't get the win, but they didn't look too terrible. And so I actually think the Big Ten is a little tougher than what we all might have expected going into the season. And I think that's basically all I had for Ohio State. I mean, it's Ohio State. They're going to figure it out. I mean, even if OU, Clemson had some issues on offense. I mean, obviously they played probably one of the best defenses in the last two decades. Georgia's defense is so good. Georgia's defense is so good. They had guys that transferred out, and I can't remember where they went, but there's guys that transferred out, and those players had like two interceptions. Like, they had interceptions and sacks like in the first half all game. Those guys transferred away from Georgia. Georgia's defense is legit. That game, that Clemson-Georgia game, was awesome to watch. I mean, Clemson had 2 rushing yards and 106 total yards. That's insane. DJ Uiagalelei,
both of those teams had
great.
Like no yards at all. I looked at the end of the game stats and like the yardage on that game. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
I think
that was
Clemson
like
had -2 rushing yards.
No, it was two yards total, just two.
Was it? I thought it was negative two.
No, I'm pretty sure it's two. It might, maybe I read that wrong.
Either way.
Yeah. Basically no terrible. Rushing. That was a defensive. I mean, that was just a defensive performance on both sides of the ball. Georgia is probably going to make the playoffs, and Bama, just as OU's defense, they are who we thought they were. Bama, they are who we thought they were. They're just dominant as fuck. Like, we can't get past them. As long as Nick Saban's there, they're going to be fucking up. They're going to be a powerhouse. They're going to be churning that program around. It's year in and year out. Those guys, the guys leaves, it's basically next one up. That's going to be a tough. My favorite, what was your guys' favorite games of the weekend? Was it that? Was it a different one?
Man, I kind of like that Notre Dame Florida State game on, what was that, Sunday night?
Yeah.
Going that was probably in, the best game of the weekend. Yeah, the Bobby Bowden game. I even tweeted out. I was like, well, I guess Florida State sucks again, or still sucks.
Yeah, and I was right there with you. And I had to come back
and say, well, I guess they don't suck. And then after that, I was like, nope. They do still suck. So
a little bit. Jake and I both took. I think Jake did. Jake, you took Florida State as well, right? Or was that just me?
No,
that's
no,
I had Florida you. State as one of my picks this week. I went 2-2 this week on the show. I had Florida State. I think +7.5, and I was live betting some of it. I actually put in a future. Here's a take. I think Florida State has a chance to win the ACC. I think Florida State might run the table. I think that defense is actually better. They ended up doing things where you're like, they should, like, you think Florida State, the last few years that they've been, they shouldn't have been able to do that. I think Florida State actually, it might be able to run the table in the ACC.
My thing is with that is their offensive line is non-existent. And yes. They have, although Mackenzie Milton is a good story, if I were him, I would not feel good playing behind that offensive line because, man, they are bad.
But I think what they do, I think what they should do, and obviously I'm not a coach. I'm just fucking spitballing here. I think what they do is they run like a two quarterback offense and run a bunch of schemes that are wildcats basically. Because that other quarterback, I think it's Trevor. What's that other quarterback?
I can't remember his last name.
He can't throw the ball, but he can run. And if you get them in there and run some weird schemes back there, I think they have a chance to, like, they can at least, I mean, clearly they put up the numbers. Notre Dame's defense was legit. Notre Dame stunned me, to be honest. Hand up, Notre Dame fans. I still fuck Notre Dame, but no, their defense actually stunned me. They were able to put some moves on them. So I think going forward, I mean, the only really two tests that they have is UNC, Virginia Tech, and Clemson. Virginia Tech, obviously, they fucking showed out against UNC, but I don't think it's sustainable. UNC, I don't know. I mean, are they who we thought they were? Or are they? They're not that good. Their offensive line was terrible. Yeah. Way terrible.
I didn't get to catch any of that game, but how do you lose to that team in week one?
Like, you can't. I mean, Sam Howell being Heisman hopeful, he didn't look. I mean, he might not even be in the question. But I think and then obviously it's the biggest one for Florida State would be Clemson. That's the one that would have to get over. But I mean, year in and year out, we see Clemson have a team that they've faced, whether it be Syracuse 3 years ago or 2 years straight, they had a questionable, you know, they were stunned by Syracuse. Yeah. I think Florida State could be that team for Clemson this year. And I put futures on them. I put two futures on Florida State. I got them winning the ACC championship at +4,500, and I got them winning the ACC division that they're in at +375. So I'm riding Florida State this year. And I was, Jake, you know this, Florida State's fucked me, especially what was that head coach they had 2 years ago, Willie Taggart or whatever.
Willie Taggart.
Yeah. I hated that. When he was there, I was fuck Florida State. And anytime I took them, they fucked me. And so I'm riding with Florida State. I actually think they're good. I think they might be good. Now, if they come out and fall flat on their face next week, then I'll take my words back and eat them and hit them on the chin. But I got Florida State riding this. I got them riding out.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, dude, Mackenzie Milton, if he can stay healthy, like, they could somewhat be all right. The problem I have is it was basically Sunday was the Fraud Bowl. You had two fraudulent teams playing each other, and so it's hard to get the hype and
true.
Get the
that is very
future
true.
Picks on two teams that have always tended to be frauds at the end of the year.
Maybe because of the story with Milton's story and how back and forth that game was, where Notre Dame goes up, Florida State catches. Notre Dame seems to try to go up, Florida State catches. It was a great – that was honestly a great game. I might have got blinded, Jake. I might have had the blinders on, forgetting that they were both frauds. And so maybe at the end of the year, we come back to this and you guys are like, why the hell did you take future bets on Florida State yeah. winning conference? And I might have to laugh at that one, but I don't know.
No, I definitely agree with Jake. Yeah.
Something about them, they have this weird grittiness where, like, they could just pull it off. I mean, that defense was flying around that field at times where it almost like, of course, I know Notre Dame's a fraud too, but Florida State was flying around that on that defensive side. Impressive. It was impressive.
Yeah. One last thing I have on that game is, what the hell has Wisconsin been doing the last couple of years with Jack Cohn? That dude goes out and throws for 300 yards and like 3 or 4 touchdowns.
I think that's what are just, we doing, Wisconsin? Yeah, I think that's just, you know, just like Bama is a fucking factory, Wisconsin's just like they're just
yeah, ground and pound. We'll throw it a little dink and dunks here every now and then, but man, he came out there and I was like, what has Wisconsin been doing the last 2-3 years he's been on the roster, not even trying to throw the ball?
People are trying to say that Jack Cohn might be like a Heisman.
Yeah, well, that was spearheaded by Big Cat. And, yeah,
if Notre Dame stays on the run and Barca Chief. If Notre Dame stays in the top 10, just because they have no one that they could lose against, basically, he might be in that conversation just because of where he plays. And if he plays consistently decent, he might be in that conversation. I'm going to ride with Florida State out of the ACC this year. I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't expect it going into this season. I did not think I'd become a Florida State supporter, but I am. So that's it. We'll be good. I'll be a Florida State rider until they fucking have me falling on my face. So let's move into this weekend. We got the top 25 is out. One of you guys want to start on your guys' picks? What did you guys go last week on your picks? Let everyone know what you guys went. I went 2-2. That brings my record to 3-2 because I took Illinois back when they played Nebraska week 0. I tweeted that one out. Wasn't on the show. We didn't have a show yet. So I'm going to call myself 3-2 on the season, but 2-2. This past week. What were you guys and what are your picks going into the weekend? Jake, you go first, then Preston.
Well, you know, I'll just say that I won last year, so it's a championship coming off a championship. We're down bad, boys. We're down real bad. I went 0-3 and I took UNC, who flopped. Sam Howell played absolutely terrible. Louisiana and Texas out of nowhere played unbelievable, and then Clemson fell on their face too. So all of my teams just kind of fell apart, just kind of like every team did this week. And the only explanation I have is I'm coming off a championship from last year and got to get my sea legs, you know, got to get my feet underneath me.
Speaking of, real quick, before we go,
hangover, if you will.
Yeah, he's got the hangover for real because 0-3 is a tough start. Before we get into your picks, Jake, are you worried for Tulsa this coming weekend? Because they're another team that they fell. They lost that one defensive linebacker or whatever he is, and now they just don't know how to tackle.
They fell apart. Yeah. I mean, this weekend will be interesting. I have this weekend in my picks.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's go to your picks then.
You want to just do my picks now, or you press? Yeah, go
right into them. No, just go right into them.
Okay, well, I'll do that right off the top. So I got Tulsa, Oklahoma State, 52.5. I'm taking the under, thinking that both teams offensively, you know, Tulsa last year were a lot better than people thought they were. You know, this year, yeah, they're not looking good, but Oklahoma State's kind of struggling too. So the thing is, I'm thinking it's going to be that defensive game from last year kind of rolled over to this year. Hopefully, if both defenses can play well, I'm kind of honestly rooting against my pick. I hope we just blow them out. But the thing is, you know, 52.5 is a decent amount for two teams that are supposed to be bad offensively and good defensively. And you want me to go to my next pick?
Yeah, keep going.
Just rattle them all out?
Yeah, we got 10 minutes to go before we get cut off.
Okay, so I'm going the other way around. Texas proved me wrong last week, so I'm taking Texas this week. Texas minus 6.5 versus Arkansas. If you can't beat Arkansas by a touchdown, what are you even doing? Arkansas should be terrible. Texas proved me wrong, so I'm riding with them. And then every week I'm taking game day. So game day is Iowa, Iowa State. This is a really tough one. I think Iowa State, but last week showed me don't take your gut because I went 0-3. So I'm flipping it. I'm going Iowa plus 4.5.
So you're fading yourself. All right. I like it. Jake's fading Jake.
Yeah. I'm not a writer.
What was the spread?
4.5 is what I got it. Is it something?
I had it at 4 earlier today.
Iowa's plus 4.
Oh, I can do, yeah, 4. Yeah, Iowa's yeah. plus 4.
So are you taking Iowa, Iowa plus favored. 4?
Yeah.
All right. Mark that one down. So run through your picks. Actually, we'll run through them real quick at the end. Preston, go on your picks from last week and then get into this week's picks real quick. We got 8 minutes left.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last week I was 2-1. Took the Raging Cajuns plus 8 versus Texas. Did not work out. Took the over 68.5 OU versus Tulane. Thankfully, not thankfully, that game ended up going over. And then somehow, by the grace of God, I took the under 63.5 in that Bama game versus Miami and nailed that one right on the head and got that one as well. So week two picks coming into this week, 2-1. I'm also going to get on that Iowa plus 4 action and take them over the Cyclones because we all know that Iowa State shits the bed when the Hawkeyes come to town or whenever they play them at all. The other one I have is Georgia versus UAB over 44.5. I just think Georgia's going to put it together offensively after playing that good Clemson defense last week. And then I really like what I saw out of SMU last week with Tanner Mordecai at quarterback for them down there. So I'm taking them minus 21 versus North Texas. I think they should get that one easily. And then another one, just because their opponent I'm taking this, is Colorado State minus 7 versus Vanderbilt. I think that is a very good pick right there.
Vanderbilt
looked absolutely terrible last week.
I like that. All right, I'll get right into mine real quick. Last week I went 2-2. Like I said, I had Florida State plus 7.5. Down bad on that. Florida State, I forgot to mention when we were talking about it, they iced their own kicker. You just can't be doing that. I mean, you just can't. That was terrible. But they covered, so plus 7.5, I hit that. UNC fell flat. They were minus 5.5. UL Lafayette, I was riding with you guys on that. I wish I wouldn't have taken that during the show. They were plus 8. They did not cover. Ohio State minus 13.5. They did. This week I got, let's see, I got 3 picks on my slate. I got, and some others that I don't have for the show because I do in other things. NC State at Mississippi State, they're not minus 2.5. I got NC State covering that. I think Mississippi State, they got the offense, but they just don't have the defense there. And I think NC State, they got a pretty good combo of both. They got a pretty, you know, spread offense where they're passing it well. I know I can't remember who they played this past week, but I just got NC State on that one. Buffalo plus 13.5 against Nebraska. I think Nebraska is just going to continue to just drop, go down, down, down. Buffalo, they looked great this past weekend on Saturday opening game. They were just, I think they played a fucking really low school, but they just look good.
Never mind. Did you say Nebraska or Buffalo?
Buffalo. I'm taking Buffalo plus 13.5.
Okay. And never mind then.
Jake, I'm actually taking the same game as you, Iowa State, but I'm taking the over 46. I'm taking over. I think there's just going to be some points put up. I think for Iowa to be able to keep up with Iowa State, they're going to have to put up points. And so I just 46, I think that was an easy. I think both teams are easily going to score more than 23 points. So, I mean, over 46 was the easiest way to do it. What are your thoughts on that, Jake, real quick? Because I feel like you want to say something on that.
No, I think the thing is, dude, is with the Iowa State game is, you know, it's game day this weekend. And the thing is I believe Iowa State's the better team. But for some reason, they always struggle with rivalries. Like, their rivalries have always historically killed them. And that's, you know, another big factor of why I'm riding with you on Iowa.
Yeah. So you have the spread.
Yeah.
I'm taking the spread. I'm just taking the over 46.
Yeah. You just want fireworks.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the Ole Miss quarterback last night, Matt Corral. I fucking, before the game started, I took a prop bet for him at plus 129 that he would throw more 381 plus yards. He threw 381 yards. So fucking shout out to that guy. I was sweating it out. He was at like 345 and there's like 7 minutes left. And I was like, dude, come on. They were already up on the game. They didn't need to keep throwing. And I was like, dude, just pound it in there. I know Lane Kiffin wasn't coaching. He had COVID, but he hit 381. I woke up, I fell asleep. I woke up this morning and I was like, damn, fucking right on the money. So shout out Matt Corral for keeping that bet live and hitting it for me. That game was, it was kind of boring. There was like a bunch of targeting calls last night in that game against Louisville. It was kind of bullshit. I
you know, it's a bad game when the best thing to come out of it is Lane Kiffin saying that he'd like to have COVID the rest of the year, so his team plays like that when he's not there, and the dog that they showed on the broadcast for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that.
What about Brian Kelly executing his players?
But that was a callback. That was a callback to, I can't remember what coach, but that was a hilarious. That's hilarious. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's a joke or not. That was just hilarious. And the fact that he was caught on camera being like, that's bullshit. He's got to go to the sin bin this week. You'll see him at Notre Dame Cathedral probably on Wednesday at 3 o'clock or whatever time.
He'll be out there praying to touchdown Jesus out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, 100%. I thought he meant his players were going to execute the plays. But he doubled down on it.
Yeah, he was like,
I thought he just misspoke.
Yeah, but he was like, they should fucking be executed too. That was just great. You know, I mean, he already had said the bullshit. He got caught on camera. They probably told him, hey, you're going to have to go to sin bin this week. And he was like, you know what? If I'm going, I might as well bring a laundry list of things to fucking confess about. So he was just like, I'm just going to keep going. I wouldn't be surprised if you see something else. They catch something else that he said or whatever. But we're going to wrap this show up. You boys, it was a great week one. We got a huge week this coming. Actually, only a couple games are huge, but huge week in my perspective. I got fucking Oregon coming to town, and they didn't look too great against Fresno State, or Fresno State looked better than anyone thought they'd ever be. So Oregon's coming into town. That's a huge game for Ohio State. That's, you know, almost a top 10 matchup. Ohio State moved, jumped OU, I think it is, in the rankings. They're number three now, and Oregon's number 12. So that's a pretty important game. But great week. Can't wait to see how this coming week turns out. And till next time, Rabbit Hole Radio, Rabbit Hole Sports, whatever you want to call it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Bake Is Here, at Preston Pool 405, and at Jake Cart, even though he doesn't tweet too much. We're going to fucking bully him into becoming a Twitter master, whatever you want to call it. So Jake, start tweeting so that people can yell at you, make fun of you, or you can make fun of them, or you can rile up some OU fans. They were down bad this week, and you would have had a hell of a time if you were on Twitter. Shout out to anyone listening. Shout out to anyone following. Be sure to give us your picks. Let us know in the comments. Let us know on Twitter what you guys are thinking. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Till next time. Peace. All right. Well, we have like I don't know if you guys can see the timer, but we have like a minute. Yeah. Can you guys can see the timer?
Yeah, I can see
when it comes up.
I can't.
Jake can't. All right, so for future reference, if you do see the timer and it hits that 10 minutes and I haven't mentioned something about it or whatever, you'd be on the toes of like, all right, we have time getting shortened.
All right, and I have the timestamps of when we talked about OU, OSU, Ohio State, that Florida, Notre Dame, and then picks. So I'll take a picture of that and send it over to you.
Yeah, sounds good. Appreciate that.
Hey, I'm dying to know, dude. What year is that Orange Bowl jersey from?
Baker Mayfield. That was, 2015, I think?
15?
Yeah, the first year they made it to the playoffs.
Was that Clemson?
Yeah, they played Clemson, yeah.
This is I'm going to let this go until it either cuts it off. Actually,
yeah.
I-